to this healing meeting at prayerfulgathering.com. The topic of today's healing message is, What is Influencing Us? This is to counter the current reports on the so-called coronavirus, which we've been in the news for the past several weeks. I'll be reading from the Authorized, that's the King James Version of the Holy Bible, and correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Keys to Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. We'll start with the Holy Bible from Psalms. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. From Leviticus and Numbers. When a man shall have the skin of his flesh arising, a scab or a bright spot, and it be in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy, then shall he be brought unto Aaron the priest, or unto one of his sons the priests. Then the priest shall shut up him that hath the plague 7 days. And the priest shall come again on the seventh day, and shall look, and behold, if the plague be spread in the walls of the house, then the priest shall command that they take away the stones for which the plague is, and they shall cast them into an unclean place without the city. And if the priest shall come and look upon it, and behold, the plague hath not spread in the house, after the house was plastered, then the priest shall pronounce the house clean, because the plague is healed. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites, and Moab was sore afraid of the people, because there were many, and Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. He sent messengers therefore unto Balaam the son of Beor to Pethor, saying, Behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. And God said unto Balaam, Thou shalt not go with them, thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. And Balak said unto Balaam, What hast thou done unto me? I took thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast blessed them altogether. And the Lord met Balaam, and put a word in his mouth, and said, Go again unto Balak, and say thus, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. Now from Job and Proverbs. God thundereth marvelously with his voice. Great things doeth he, which we cannot comprehend. For he saith to the snow, Be thou on the earth. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him. For he refresheth the soul of his masters. Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow? Canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion? Now we go to the New Testament from St. Mark and St. Luke. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, and was baptized of John in Jordan. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit that had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, and which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go, show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. But Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him. For he had healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon him for to touch him as many as had plagues. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing it in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing that what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. Revelation. There came unto me one of the 7 angels, which had the 7 vials, full of the 7 last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. And there shall be no more curse, and there shall be no night there. And finally from Psalms, Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. And now I'll read passages from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. Mortals develop their own bodies or make them sick according as they influence them through mortal mind. Jesus once asked, Who touched me? Supposing this inquiry to be occasioned by physical contact alone, his disciples answered, The multitude throng thee. Jesus knew, as others did not, that it was not matter but mortal mind whose touch called for aid. Repeating his inquiry, he was answered by the faith of a sick woman. His quick apprehension of this mental call illustrated his spirituality. Now, as then, these mighty works are not supernatural, but supremely natural. They are the sign of Emmanuel, or God with us, a divine influence ever present in human consciousness, and repeating itself, coming now, as was promised aforetime, to preach deliverance to the captives of sense, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. We say that one human mind can influence another, and in this way affect the body, but we rarely remember that we govern our own bodies. The error mesmerism, or hypnotism, to use the recent term, illustrates the fact just stated. The operator would make his subjects believe that they cannot act voluntarily and handle themselves as they should do. If they yield to this influence, it is because their belief is not better instructed by spiritual understanding. Hence the proof that hypnotism is not scientific. Science cannot produce both disorder and order. Mesmerism, or animal magnetism, was first brought into notice by Mesmer in Germany in 1775. According to the American Encyclopedia, he regarded this so-called force, which he said could be exerted by one living organism over another, as a means of alleviating disease. His propositions are as follows. There exists a mutual influence between the celestial bodies, the earth, and animated things. Animal bodies are susceptible to the influence of this agent, disseminating itself through the substance of nerves. The author's own observations of the workings of animal magnetism convince her that it is not a remedial agent, and that its effect upon those who practice it and upon those subjects who do not resist it lead to moral and to physical death. In no instance is the effect of animal magnetism, recently called hypnotism, other than the effect of illusion. You admit that mind influences the body somewhat, but you conclude that the stomach, blood, nerves, bones, etc. hold the preponderance of power. Whatever influence you cast on the side of matter, you take away from mind, which would otherwise outweigh all else. We weep because others weep. We yawn because they yawn. And we have smallpox because others have it. But mortal mind, not matter, contains and carries the infection. When this mental contagion is understood, we shall be more careful of our mortal conditions, and we shall avoid loquacious tattling about disease as we would avoid advocating crime. Neither sympathy nor society should ever tempt us to cherish error in any form, and certainly we should not be error's advocate. Disease arises, like other mental conditions, from association. Since it is the law of mortal mind that certain diseases should be regarded as contagious, this law obtains credit through association, calling up the fear that creates the image of disease and its consequent manifestation in the body. This fact in metaphysics is illustrated by the following incident. A man was made to believe that he occupied a bed where a cholera patient had died. Immediately, the symptoms of this disease appeared, and the man died. The fact was that he had not caught the cholera by material contact, because no cholera patient had been in that bed. If a child is exposed to contagion or infection, the mother is frightened and says, "My child will be sick." The law of mortal mind and her own fears govern her child more than the child's mind governs itself, and they produce the very results which might have been prevented through the opposite understanding. Then it is believed that exposure to the contagion wrought the mischief. Damp atmosphere and freezing snow empurpled the plump cheeks of our ancestors, but they never indulged in the refinement of inflamed bronchial tubes. They were as innocent as Adam before he ate the fruit of false knowledge of the existence of tubercles and trochees, lungs and lozenges. You can even educate a healthy horse of foreign physiology that he will take cold without a blanket, whereas the wild animal, left to his instincts, sniffs the wind with delight. All disease is the result of education, and disease can carry its ill effects no farther than mortal mind maps out the way. A patient under the influence of mortal mind is healed only by removing the influence on him of this mind, by emptying his thought of the false stimulus and reaction of willpower, and filling it with the divine energies of truth. Mortal mind is the worst foe of the body, while divine mind is its best friend. In reality, there is no mortal mind, and consequently no transference of mortal thought and willpower. Spiritual causation is the one question to be considered. For spiritual, more than all others, spiritual causation relates to human progress. The age seems ready to approach this subject, to ponder somewhat the supremacy of spirit, and at least to touch the hem of truth's garment. The description of man as purely physical, or as both material and spiritual, but in either case dependent upon his physical organization, is a Pandora box from which all ills have gone forth, especially despair. Matter, which takes divine power into its own hands and claims to be a creator, is a fiction in which paganism and lust are so sanctioned by society that mankind has caught their moral contagion. We should relieve our minds from the depressing thought that we have transgressed a material law and must of necessity pay the penalty. Let us reassure ourselves with the law of love. God never punishes man for doing right, for honest labor, or for deeds of kindness, though they expose him to fatigue, cold, heat, contagion. If man seems to incur the penalty through matter, this is but a belief of mortal mind, not an enactment of wisdom. And man is only to enter his protest against this belief in order to annul it. If exposure to a draught of air while in a state of perspiration is followed by chills, dry cough, influenza, congestive symptoms in the lungs, or hints of inflammatory rheumatism, your mind remedy is safe and sure. When the fear subsides and the conviction abides that you have broken no law, neither rheumatism, consumption, or any other disease will ever result from exposure to the weather. In science, this is an established fact which all the evidence before the senses can never overrule. Truth handles the most malignant contagion with perfect assurance. The Christian scientist, though understanding mental anatomy, discerns and deals with the real cause of disease. The material physician gropes among phenomena which fluctuate every instant under the influences not embraced in his diagnosis, and so he may stumble and fall in the darkness. The anatomy of Christian science teaches when and how to probe the self-inflicted wounds of selfishness, malice, envy, and hate. It unfolds the hallowed influences of unselfishness, philanthropy, spiritual love, the very circumstance which your suffering sense deems wrathful and afflictive. Love can make an angel entertain unawares. Then thought gently whispers, "Come hither, arise from your false consciousness into the true sense of love, and behold the Lamb's wife, love wedded to its own spiritual idea." Then cometh a marriage feast, for this revelation will destroy forever the physical plagues imposed by material sense. Now this concludes the healing message and the publicly recorded portion of the meeting. Now we'll begin the meditation and prayer portion of the meeting by listening to a solo called "In This Very Room."
All of us. wide enough path for faith and spirit to bloom.
Now all pray together in silence for a few moments, and then join together in praying aloud the Lord's Prayer. This will be followed by a musical interpretation of the Lord's Prayer. Now the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. And the